This is 1 Corinthians 12, 4 through 14. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone is the same God at work. Now to each one, in the manifestation of the Spirit, is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one, just as he determines. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are each baptized by one and one Spirit, so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentile, slave or free, and we were all given the same one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many.
Let us pray. Heavenly God, we praise you and thank you for this day, for this scripture, for this sermon. We ask that you break open for us what you would have us hear and do and think today and all days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I was really satisfied with myself this week when I received this email that had in the memo line that declared to me that I was, okay, Mark, let's go ahead and change that, that declared that I was the pastor who has everything. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, I'm telling you, man. So I had to immediately calm my wife, Kim, and brag on myself a little bit. And as often as the case, I was just kidding. And as often as is the case, she surprised me with her response. And she says, yes, you do have everything. You have everything you need. Not because you're a pastor or anything else, but because you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have everything you need. And she was right. She was right. Let me ask all of you this question. Who is your Lord and Savior? Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ. And so we have everything that you will ever need for all eternity. Live in that assurance. I want to tell each and every one of you, and I want you to believe it, you are God's special creation. Jesus loves you. No matter what you see when you look in the mirror, no matter how unworthy you think you may be, Jesus loves you. You are his special creation. No matter how unlovable or unforgivable that you think you are, Jesus loves you, forgives you, died for you, saved you forever. And you carry that around. He looks at you and he loves you. You have everything you need because Jesus reached out to embrace you as a lamb of his own flock, a sinner of his own redeeming. You have received mercy upon mercy and live in the arms of Jesus Christ in the everlasting glory with all the saints, all your brothers and sisters who are just as unworthy as you are of that love, but are just as loved. You have everything you need. He loves you more than you could ever imagine. Believe the good news of the gospel in Jesus Christ. You are loved, saved, and forgiven. And be at peace. But that isn't what my unsolicited email meant when it told me that I was the pastor with everything. In the body of the email, okay, Mark, I was told that I was the high-performing pastor. I'm loving this because they know me so well. As a minister, I have every gift and talent, every ability to perform it at a high level. I can do all things because I am the pastor who has everything, and I am the high-performing pastor. I can coordinate the nursery and take care of the children. I can play the keyboard, sing, and lead worship. I can move tables and chairs with ease. I can teach Sunday school and coordinate VBS and lead Awana. I can lead youth group. I can coordinate a mission trip to Nicaragua. I can counsel people like a pro. I can take care of the church's finances and do the books and even run the office. I can coordinate communications with the church, design slides, and put together a weekly update. And those are just some of the things I can do because I am the high-performing pastor. I can do all these things, not because I am gifted. Not at all. Well, I'm gifted some. I have my gifts. But we're not all gifted with everything. And I don't sweat that because none of us can be gifted with everything. And this is the truth that Paul is trying to let the Corinthians know in this chapter 12. This drives him to say there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. We're all one in God. And there are varieties of the service of services, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who activates them in every one. To each is given a manifestation of the Spirit. We've all been given our gifts and talents for the common good. So I have everything I need in this time and place because the Holy Spirit has provided me. Okay, Mark. As the Holy Spirit has provided me with these people. As a church, we have been gifted with a staff that has been given to us by the Holy Spirit with different gifts and talents, who are energized and excited by different things, and expert in different, in a variety of activities. Back in seminary, it was after my third year seminary, the faculty challenged me to move away from youth ministry to see if I could minister with adults. And just this week, I told I shared that with Gabriel. I said, you know, I just love kids. I love hanging out with kids. I joke and kid and even do some religious stuff. But I am so over planning youth group and leading programs of children and youth and nursery ministries. When Kim and the guys moved to Colorado, and my co-pastor went to Colorado Springs, moved from Cortez to Colorado Springs, I wasn't all that panicked. I know how to pastor. I can pastor. I know how to do that. And I wasn't all that worried about the house. I'm a pretty good housewife. I can do that. But when our administrative assistant moved to Texas, I was in full panic mode. I cannot do what Jill did. I don't have those gifts and talents. And I used to say one of my spiritual gifts was a strong back. I've amended that to say, one of my spiritual gifts is a pretty healthy back. I can't do all the moving and stuff that needs done in a church anymore. And I am overjoyed to pray with you and visit with you and will even offer spiritual direction. But thank the Lord, Doug is kitty corner from my office because I know when I'm out of my depths with counseling and you can always go to Doug. And I love to write, and I love to write, and I just tend to spend a lot of time doing it. But editing and publishing a weekly newsletter, I cannot do that. And as far as leading musicians, when we're clapping at the song, when you're clapping with the song, don't look at me to be clapping with you. I can't keep time. I just can't. I'm moved. I'm into it. I'm rocking and rolling, but I can't keep time. It is our God and Father who has blessed us with these ministries and with these ministers for the common good. These people have a variety of gifts and talents and passions and interests and expertise. And the Holy Spirit has given them a share, and has given them to us, not because it's their job or not because they're drawing a huge paycheck or not because they're gaining power or prestige. They are called by God Almighty to serve the people of God. We are called to serve you. And as he says in Romans, and pursue the mutual upbuilding of the church. Then jumping back to Corinthians, to each person is given a manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Mark the next slide. The Apostle Paul here in the body of 12 Corinthians gives us a listing of the gifts of the Spirit. But then it's really interesting. By the time that chapter 12 is over, he amends that listing of the gifts and ministries of the Spirit. And then we have a different gift and ministry listing in both Romans and Ephesians. Now, I take that to say that we've been given gifts and talents for these times and places. There are a variety of gifts. There are a variety of talents. But we use them here and now. Sometimes the gifts that we need are here, and sometimes we don't need these gifts, and we don't need to have them now. And there are no hierarchy of talents. The gifts that we have been given by the Holy Spirit make us all high performers, each in our own way. It isn't to pat ourselves on our back, to become rich and famous or powerful, but we have been given everything we need for the upbuilding of the church, the body of Christ. For it is just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, many, are one body, and so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into the one body, Jew and Greek, slave and free, and we were all made to drink of the one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. We are all differently and wickedly and awesomely made by God. And together we are the body of Christ, the church. And we've been given gifts, different gifts and talents for the upbuilding of the body and for the function of the body of Christ. And to function as a living, breathing vessel of Jesus Christ. As spectacular as our staff is, wouldn't it sound just awful if Stephen tried to sing and lead and play guitar and drums and keyboard all at the same time? Sarah is a tremendous children's minister, but she can't do everything that needs done for 75 or 80 Awana kids by herself, let alone do Sunday school. Gabriel and Christy are terrific with the youth, but they need help in feeding, doing games, leading lessons and programs for youth on Wednesdays and Sundays. As much a wonder as Rebecca is with finances and books, she can't make the money appear, folks. Rochelle is great, but she needs children in the nursery and adults to run the nursery. Colin is as strong as can be, but doing all the physical stuff in the church would even tax his stamina. And Lisa does marvels with the weekly update, but she can't write everything. And she can't do the ministries that are listed by herself. As for me, the only way I can be a high-performing pastor who has everything is for you to supply the needs of the church. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different parts of the body of Christ, but they are all important and needed. I ask you to consider your call. Consider your call. What are your gifts and talents? And don't you dare sit there and say, well, I don't have any. That's the first thing I do. Somebody says, what are you good at? I say, well, not really anything much. We are all gifted and talented and special, all in our own in different ways. Just standing here looking, I can start, I won't embarrass you, but I can start saying, oh yeah. Consider your call. Consider those gifts and talents you've been given. One of my favorite moments in the Billy Graham ministry is he's sitting with this little old lady, and she's just lamenting, oh, Dr. Graham, I can't do anything anymore. I just can't help with the crusades anymore. I can't do anything. Now, a pastor other than Billy Graham would have asked. I don't think I would have. I hope I wouldn't have. But another pastor might have asked, do you still have a checkbook? No. Pastor Graham said to her, can you pray? Can you sit here in your room and pray for us? She said, of course, I do every day. He said, then you're doing the most important ministry for the crusade. So I ask you to consider your call. What can you do? What are you willing to do? There is so much to plug into. I was going to make a laundry listing. I don't need to do that. You know what there is to plug into. Consider your call. Now, how many of you understood my sermon title at first glance. Okay, Mark, the next slide. We have a friend who collects sermon titles. I'm going to send this one to him, Kim. SOS, help. As high performing as that silly email professes me to be, as spectacular as our staff is, as giving and gifted and caring and wonderful as our deacons and our session are, and as hard as our musicians and ministers and commissions work, we can't do it alone. As everywhere, all the time as I try to be, I can't do this interim ministry of steering and guiding our church ship alone. Consider your calls. Consider your gifts. Consider your talents. Consider your calling. Pray over those gifts and talents and calling. What can you do for the uplifting of the body of Christ, the church? What can you do to contribute to the common good of Covenant Presbyterian Church and the people we serve? The Apostle Paul goes to great pains throughout chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians of telling them how to activate the gifts of the Spirit for the common good. But then toward the end of the chapter, the lines start to get blurred. Scholars can't tell you when chapter 12 and chapter 13 begin. Paul in chapter 12 tells us how to do church. In chapter 13, he tells us how to be church. And the lines get blurred on these. And so for the next several weeks, we're going to take a look at this. Over the next month or so, we'll find out together what it means to live out being church. And it's wrapped up in that one word, love. Love. One of my favorite moments in the whole Harry Potter saga comes at the end of the first book in the first movie when Professor Dumbledore is telling Harry why he's special and why Harry is guaranteed that he will defeat evil. It's going to take him 7 books. But it's a guarantee that he will defeat evil. And I love the way Richard Harris looks at the boy and says, love. Love. It's a mark that can't be seen. It can't be measured. But it sets us apart. The love of God in Jesus Christ sets us apart. From in the beginning, God, you are loved. And every one of you are loved because of this love, because of this promise from the very beginning of the scriptures to Maranatha, come Lord Jesus, at the very end of the scriptures. It is told we will triumph. The body of Christ wins. Now, do you like my clever sermon series title? What's love got to do with it? As you saw in the weekly update, it was very cool when I said it back in 1984. Maybe a little creaky today as an illustration, but so true. So true that love has everything to do with it. The promise to be a happy, healthy, strong, worshiping, mighty, ministering church is wrapped up in the word love. Now I'm going to, can't preach the whole thing today. I'm going to stop actually. And we're going to move to the table. Because at the table we have the expression of God's love in Jesus Christ poured out for us. Literally, Jesus poured out his love for us in the body and blood. This is the Lord's table. This isn't my table. This isn't our church's table. This is the Lord's table. And all who need Jesus Christ today, from the oldest to the youngest, all who need him today are welcome to come to the table and share the feast which he has prepared for us.